Father, we thank you and love you, Lord, this morning. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. Hallelujah. And it gives direction to the simple as well. Thank you, Jesus. Today, Lord, let the entrance of that word bring light into our lives. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. So I will be continuing the book of Ephesians. I'm going to do first a quick review of chapter 1. And I'll tell you some of the things, the highlights, and then I'll move on. I'm going to do just straight reading of the Bible, then I'll point out some things. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we talked about who you are. And here are about seven things that chapter calls out that we are, or what God says we are. The first thing we notice is that God calls us saints. You know, the book starts out by writing to the saints that are in Ephesus. The next thing we know is that God also says that we are blessed and we are chosen. We are predestinated to be conformed to his image. We are also redeemed and we have an inheritance in Christ and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of promise. Isn't that wonderful? Those are a lot of very special and wonderful promises. So today I'm going to go on to chapter 2 and move on to 3 if I can cover it all. In chapter 2, I want to talk about the citizens of the commonwealth of God. You know, citizens of the commonwealth of God. We were aliens, foreigners, and strangers. But now we are being brought in. I remember I told this illustration at the beginning of the series of this book that a young prince may not know who they are when they are first born. You know, they're going to have tutors. They're going to have somebody to train them. They'll be trained until they figure out who they are. They might even be trained in the art of war and so on and so forth. So this book of Ephesians goes through a lot of stuff, you know, to get us to where we ought to be. Now, chapter 2 of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened. I'm going to read. So whoever is putting the scriptures up, you have to go really fast. I'm going to read through the whole thing really quickly. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, hallelujah, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off have now been made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one man, new man, making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who are afar off, and to them that were nigh. Praise the Lord. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but now fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Amen. And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word into your heart. Amen. Now, let me break it down quickly. The context here is about the mystery. He talked about that mystery in chapter 1, which was hid ages before the world began. How that the Gentiles should also be partakers with the Jews. Because the Jews were God's people that he called. And God called them. See, so in this chapter, he's going to... Now, of course, these Ephesians, they are Gentiles. So, Paul is going to spend some time, you know, because, you know, Paul himself, you know, God gave him that ministry to Gentiles. So, he's going to spend some time and try to explain to these people that, look, don't think that you are inferior. Amen. You're not inferior to the Jews. You know, Jesus went the way, all the way to break down the wall of partition and to make the two of them come into one. So that's all he's talking about here. So let's break it down. So, ye who were in times past, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power in the air, and the children of disobedience and all that. And we had our conversation in times past, doing all those crazy things, desires of the flesh and all of the mind and so forth. Remember, in times past. Hallelujah. So believers should not be doing these things. Believers should not be walking after the lusts of the flesh. This was in times past. In times past, we had our mind like that, you know, and we were children of wrath, you know, even as others. That's what it says in verse 3. But God, who is rich in his mercy and his great love wherein he has loved us, when we were still dead in sins, he quickened us. Amen. Quickened means to make alive. He made us alive in Christ. And he raised us up and caused us to sit together in heavenly. Now, what does it mean? Raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us. Now, this is a different kind of message because we're doing teaching. So we're just reading the scriptures. People are not used to reading the scriptures a lot these days anymore. We're reading the scriptures, bringing out an exposition here. You know, in the ages to come, he's going to show this thing. Now, for by grace are you saved. This is a great, this next two verses, verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2. They're a great text to learn. This was perhaps the second scripture that I learned when I gave my life to Christ. First one was 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man be in Christ, his word, and all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And then this was the next one. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we are his workmanship. What does that mean? We are created in Christ. We're not created after the old man. No. This is a new creation. We are a new creation. See, that's why I say we are created in Christ Jesus. The old creation was from Adam. We are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creation. You know, say, well, did God create again? Absolutely. You know, you are a new creation. You're born again. You are created. again, afresh in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship, that we should do good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. And he said, remember that in time past, you were Gentiles in the flesh. Now remember, in times past, you were sinners in the flesh. Amen? Amen? Is it in time past? Of course. You know, for as many as have given their life to Christ and are living and walking in the light, they are now saints, no longer sinners. We talked about that last time. You know, so in time past, you were sinners in the flesh, you know, and you were called uncircumcision, you know, because, you know, the Jews, you know, they used to look down on the Gentiles and say, well, you know, those are Gentiles, they are uncircumcised and so forth, don't have anything to do with them and all that. God straightened that out. He fixed that up, you know, and said, look, he is going to bring together all things in one. Hallelujah. Both those who are Jews, both those who are Gentiles, but in particular for those of you who are seated here, you know, he said, look, ye who are sometimes are far off, you are far off, you know, we're aliens, we are foreigners, we're not, you know, originally in the, we were like the wild branches, we were not part of the natural branches, we were, you know, just strangers, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, initially, you know, he said, God has now brought us together. In verse 14, it says, he is our peace, who hath made both one. Both the Jew and the Gentile, they are now made one. And he has broken down the wall of partition. I'm reading verse 14. He has broken down that wall of partition. Where he said, well, Jews over on this side, Gentiles over on this side. He has broken it down, you know. He has abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments and so forth, you know. In the Old Testament, Gentiles could not even come. They had to be in the outer courts. You know, they had the courts, you know, around the temple. And Gentiles were way out there. They couldn't even come into, not even the inner courts, let alone come into the temple, let alone come into, you know, some of the holy place or even the holiest place. You know, they couldn't do it. You know, they were way out. But Jesus has broken that partition. Amen. Hallelujah. We are no longer outside. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. We are now, see now therefore, verse 19. Now, let's look at all the things he's building up to this. He said, look, he has broken down the wall of partition. Because it took a lot of explaining to these Gentiles. Because they used to beat down on them so badly that they were foreigners. You know, they say, well, you can't sit with the Gentiles. You can't even go on, you know. They'd accuse Peter, they'd accuse all these people of sitting with the Gentiles, and so much that even some of the apostles were carried away with, you know, getting confused and then trying to pretend, you know, when somebody was around or somebody wasn't around. God said, look, we've taken away all of that, you know. God has broken down that wall of partition. He brought those who are far off, verse 17, and brought them near. And through Christ, we both, that's Jews and Gentiles. This is a great mystery. People never thought it would be. But through Christ, both Jews and Gentiles now have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now what's the foundation of the apostles and prophets? You know, how do you... What is it? You know, you got to go back and see all the word of God. Because the Bible says the entire word of God is given by inspiration. And it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for reproof. So that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The entire scripture written by apostles and prophets over many, many hundreds of years. You know, this is what we are built on. And it's like a house. It's like a foundation. When you're laying a house, you know, we talked about, Jesus himself talked about it. If you build your house on the sand, when the storms and the tornadoes and the whatever tempest comes up, that house will be blown away. It's going to fall. But when you build a house on the solid rock, it's going to stand. So that solid rock, that foundation is the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. All this word of God that we have. And Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone that holds everything together. Praise the Lord. And we are builded like a building. It's like a building. You know, this is some of the paradoxes. I've talked about this before that are in the scriptures. When Jesus said, you know, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, we know that he grew up in the house of a carpenter. You know, so the whole time, because of what he said, that he's going to build his church, then people are looking for some building. You know, I mean, there were some glorious temples in those days. They even came and showed it to Jesus. Said, look at this building, glorious temple. And Jesus said, you see not, you know, don't you see all these things? Not one stone will be left upon another. Jesus wasn't talking about that. And today, people are still focused on the building. The physical building like this. Because, you know, people in their mind are still saying, well, you know, Jesus said, I will build my church. You know, so people actually call this building a church. You know, how silly can that be? You know, the building is not a church, folks. Amen. Amen. The church is the building. Praise the Lord. And the church is the people of God. Not this building that is built with brick and glass and wood. Well, Jesus did say, I will build my church. And the church is a building. But it's not this kind of building. It's a spiritual building. And that is a building that is being explained here. Ye are built on the foundation. The foundation is not brick and mortar and so on. You know, the foundation is the doctrines of the apostles and the doctrines that the prophets gave us and Jesus Christ himself. That doctrine of Christ is the corner piece that holds everything together. Can you say praise the Lord? Ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So God wants to dwell in that building that he is crafting. That is a building that he himself is building. Now, we can build great buildings and they're good. You know, the Bible says that, look, inasmuch as the person that built the house has more honor than the house, so also Christ has more honor than any building because he's the one that's building the church. Praise the Lord. Today, Christ is outside the church, though, unfortunately. You know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation 3 and 20. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, he's not going to knock down the door. No, sir. You're going to have to open unto him. Praise the Lord. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in and I will sup with him and he will sup with me. You know, that's what he says. Revelation 3 and 20. I stand at the door. This was the very building that he himself built, but now he's outdoors. He's outside. People have kicked him out. You know, Jesus Christ has been replaced by dogma and creed and traditions of men and so forth. You know, and instead of holding Christ, who is the head of all principality and power, people are holding to traditions and holding to man-made programs and so forth like that. That's not going to work. Jesus is at the door. And if you will open and let him in, you know, he said, I will sup with you and he will sup with me. This building that Christ is building is something spectacular to behold. It is made of people whose lives are redeemed. They have an inheritance in Christ. They have been given a token of redemption until the purchased possession. They are waiting for the coming of Christ. They are filled with the Spirit of God. And they are called the children of God. Praise the Lord. Are you one of those? If you are one of those, let me see your hands up here to this morning. Praise the Lord. I am a child of God. And I know who I am. I'm not afraid to say it. Praise the Lord. Are you a child of God? Amen. I asked a question the last time. I said, who are you? Or who do people? Jesus himself asked the question, who do men say that I am? I said, well, who are you? Who do you think you are? And who do people say you are? You know, when people ask a question of who are you, what is the answer that's going to come into your own head? I mean, you know, who are you? You know, if somebody asks me who I am, I hope the answer that comes to my head is I am a child of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's who you are. And Jesus has said a lot of things about us, even in this chapter that we have read. The idea here is for us to be a part of that building, that spiritual building that Christ is building himself. And keep your eyes on the Christ. Never mind, you know, how the structure looks. These structures will go away. Praise the Lord. Jesus himself said, look, I go to prepare another place for you. And that where I am, you may be there. And when I'm finished, I'm coming to get you and put you there. And you'll be with me. You know, so, you know, in the olden days, you know, those who are heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews 11, they looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, they knew that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But they knew that, you know, their final place was in a city that was not this kind of city. And they looked for it and they kept believing God for it. And in the same way today, we should believe, you know, that the only kind of foreigner or stranger that we are is foreigner and stranger to this world. We're not foreigner and stranger to God's commonwealth anymore. Amen. But you should be a stranger to the world. Now, you can't have it both ways. Because friendship with the world is enmity with Christ. You cannot, if you want to be a part of the world, then you can't be a part of Christ. And if you're going to be a part of Christ, the Bible says, look, you cannot eat of the table of the Lord and then eat of the table of devils. You can't have it both ways. If you're going to be a child of God, then be a child of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read through quickly. I'm not going to teach this chapter because of time, but I'm going to read through it, the next chapter. I want to read through it very quickly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote before in few words, that's the mystery we have been talking about now, you know, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which, this now he's going to expand more about this ministry, this mystery. It's taking two chapters to talk about this mystery. That's how great it is, you know. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Well, what is that mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. This thing was hid for ages. People didn't know that Gentiles would be part of it. And the Jews didn't like to believe it. But believe it, the Gentiles are part of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am the least of, less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. You know, he's making, he's proud of his role in preaching the gospel among the Gentiles, you know. This grace is given unto me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men know. See what the fellowship of the mystery is, which from the beginning of the world had been hid, you know, in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. But now, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers. I love this verse, even in heavenly places. Might be known by the church, that's through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Principalities and powers, angels desire to look into this thing. They didn't understand it, but God is now unfolding it. Amen. According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, we don't need to come to God, you know, timidly. We need to come boldly. We have boldness through Christ. Amen. You know, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom, now notice, this is a wonderful scripture. Ephesians 3 and 15. The whole, he said, I bow my knees unto, you know, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. As a believer, your real surname. Amen? That's right. What's your real surname? See, the Bible says that the whole family, God's family in heaven and in earth, is named by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's your real name. Praise the Lord. You are of that stock if you have given your life to Christ. And you should carry yourself and behave accordingly. Amen. That's right. You know, and Paul said, look, because God has given you such riches, my prayer is that you may understand what it is that you have. Because the people didn't know what they had. So Paul began to pray, say that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you might be strengthened, you know, you might be strengthened with might, with strength in his spirit, in the inner man. He wants you to be strengthened in the inner man. You know, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge. Now, to know something that passes knowledge. Now, that's deep. Now, you can't really, by human knowledge, understand it. But God, by the Spirit, can reveal it to you. And Paul's prayer for them was that God, through the Spirit of the Lord, will reveal to them and make them understand the love of Christ. Praise the Lord. You cannot measure the love of Christ. It's immeasurable. I mean, there's nobody quite like him. Praise the Lord. He gave his life, you know, and he opens his heart today to forgive any. If any man had done whatever, now, anybody that hides their sins shall not prosper. Whosoever hideth his sins shall not prosper. Whosoever confesseth and forsaketh it shall have what? Shall have mercy. Praise the Lord. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants you to understand that. He wants you to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And he wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you imagine that? The fullness of God. How can I be filled with all the fullness of God? I mean, you know, there are no superlatives that can do God justice. Sometimes we say that he is greater than the greatest because we don't know what else to say. We say that he's higher than the highest. Amen. Because we don't know what else to say. You know, in fact, if you think that there is some height to him, well, you have already limited him. If you think there's some breadth to him, then you have already limited him. If you think there's some depth or whatever to him, you have already limited him. So that's why people don't know what to say. They just say, well, you know, he's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. Praise the Lord. But he is really immeasurable. Amen. You cannot measure the greatness of God. Praise the Lord. And only one word comes to mind when you think of the greatness of God. You can't measure it. You know, people just, you know, even in heaven, they can't do anything but to say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's all they say. 24 hours of the day. They can't even describe. You can't describe the meaning of holy, boy. You can't do it. It is the very essence of who God is. And that's how great he is. And people don't know, even the angels, they don't know what to say. All they have to say is holy, holy, holy. Praise the Lord. God is so great. And he wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a prayer that you should be praying for yourself. You should be praying and say, Lord, I want to be filled. Not some of the fullness of God. Well, if it's not possible, he won't be praying for it here. God put it in his heart. And he was the apostle of the Gentiles. And God put it in his heart to be praying for them that they will be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Don't sell yourself short. Don't say it's not possible. Don't say nobody can be perfect. Well, we already know that's not true. Amen. Amen. He that walketh righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Be ye also therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. We know that, Matthew 5 and 48. You know, so don't sell yourself short. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Now, let's take a look at that. If this is the last scripture today that we will look at, let's analyze that text. Unto him, who is that him? Somebody know who that him might be? And say his name if you know it. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Now, it's not enough that he can meet your needs. That's not even enough. You know, but he can do abundantly more than you can ask God. That's not even enough. But he can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. See, if you can think it, then God can do it. Hallelujah, somebody. Just think of it. If you can think it in your head, then he can do even more. I mean, use your power of imagination, kids. Just think of how great God is. Think of any great thing. Whatever great thing you can think of, God can do it and exceed it. Amen. That's how great he is. Praise the Lord. But this is how it works. I've preached on this message before. You'll find it on our website. According to the power that worketh in us. See, you're never going to go beyond the power that is working in you. That's it. It is limited. All this greatness of God is limited by the power, that level of that power that works in you. You know, so open up your heart and let in the fullness of God. Don't limit him. Because if you limit him, now, if I bring a little kid today and tell them to count, maybe they'll count to 20 or so and they're done. That's about all they can do. If they can even count to it, you know. Maybe you bring somebody who is in grade school, then maybe they can count to 1,000 or whatever. I mean, if they're, you know, in kindergarten or something. I don't know. Maybe they will be able to do that. And, you know, and sometimes when they are so small and so young, they can't even comprehend money. If you give them a quarter, it's like a great thing. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Well, if I give some of you who are quarter here, it'd be an insult today, you know. But, you know, you get the point, you know. And then later on when they begin to appreciate, if you even give them $5, it's like, what? $5? What can I do with that? You know, and then they begin to, and then when they begin to count, when their understanding begins to explode, you know, and I can challenge the young people who are here now and tell me the largest number that you can say. Some people say quadrillion, some people say quintrillion, some people say whatever number of zeros that you can come up with, God can exceed it. Amen. You cannot count to infinity. When people stop counting, even computers, when they stop counting, they can't do it. You know, so finally just say, well, you know, infinity. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, that's the greatness of God. But the level of the revelation of the power of God and how you believe God is going to be limited by the power of God that is working in you. You know, if you open up your heart and let in the fullness of God, then you'll be able to believe God for anything, you know. And those that can believe God, you know, they can really believe God. Praise the Lord. And what we want people to do in these teachings is to begin to understand who you are. When you begin to understand who you are like that little prince that was born into the monarchy but didn't know who they are. And so they are being trained. They are being trained to understand who you are. And by the time you fully understand who you are, you'll see that, wow. All these things are actually at your disposal. Hallelujah. I will close with this verse in John chapter 15 and verse 7. I want you to turn with me. And I will give two memory verses to the young folks. The first one is going to be Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And the next one is going to be this one right here. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved, right? Through faith. And that, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then this next one right here is a memory verse for everybody. John 15 and 7. This is what Jesus said. Put that up again. John chapter 15 and verse 7. He just said, look, if, and notice this, if ye abide in me. Hello? Can we read it together? Let's read it together. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise the Lord. I want you to memorize this and you begin to practice it. But there are two big ifs there. If ye abide in me, and my words, that's the fullness of God that we are talking about. The fullness of God. My words abide in you. See, that is the power that worketh in you. Is the power of God, the word of God. That's our power. The level of that word that you have is the level of how you can walk that faith. Because that's how it works. You can't go beyond what you know about the word of God. You know, so the more you know, and you can stand in the word of God and say, well, are you abiding in the Lord? Is the word of God abiding in you? Are my words abiding in you? If that's true, then you can ask anything that you will. Hallelujah, somebody. And it shall be done unto you. Let's stand to our feet. And I want that to soak in for a little bit. Now, this is a little bit different because I want to teach on this this book. So it's not exactly, you know, a healing line or anything like that, you know. But I want you to soak in the word of God. You know, soak in the word of God. Think of these things. Hallelujah. The Bible says that, you know, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I want you to think on the things of who God says you are. It's going to open up a whole new world. Your horizons will increase once you understand who God says you are and what he says about you. And you need to understand also that you are no longer foreigners, but you are now fellow citizens. And don't come like a foreigner anymore. You know, foreigner doesn't have any rights, you know, but you are not a foreigner. As a matter of fact, we are seated together in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Somebody say amen. Let's lift our hands up and thank you. Yeah, you can give the Lord a hand clap for that. That's right. We're seated together in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. Let's raise our hands up and let's just thank him. Thank him for this great thing. It's not because we were anything. No. But it was what he chose to do for us. You know, he predestinated these things for us before the world began. And it's now being made manifest in our lives today. So let's thank him. Raise up your hands and thank him. Thank him for the understanding that he has given you of who you are. Thank him for the knowledge. And I'm going to pray the same prayer that Paul prayed. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that every one of us in here today will be filled with the knowledge of Christ. And that we will be filled with the fullness of Christ. And I will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ. And if we can understand these things and his word can abide in us, and we abide in him, then we can ask whatsoever we will, the Lord said, and it shall be done unto us. Father, we pray that you give us this understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, folks, with this power in your hands, you don't need anybody to pray for you. I don't need to pray for you. If you understand this thing, you can stand the word of God and say, you know, thank you, Lord, you know, for making me to abide in you. And thank you, Lord, for your words that abide in me. Now, according to your word, you said, I can ask anything I will, and it shall be done unto me. And then you can ask. He didn't say you will pray somebody to pray for you. He said, you will ask anything, and it shall be done unto you. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now take a minute now and ask the Lord to give you this understanding of who you are. Give you this understanding of the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ that has no measure. Give you understanding about the power that is in the Word of God. Soak it into yourself and believe God. And let's trust Him that as you use that word, all your prayers will be answered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we give you, Lord, all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Put your hands together once again for the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.